Hello, this is Risser of the future. Well, future from the podcast, but I guess past to you guys? You get it. Anyway, I'm hopping on here to give you guys a trigger warning. We're talking about some heavy topics this week with all the sexual assault allegations that have come out recently. We thought that was an important thing to address, to talk about on the podcast. We don't get into really specific details or anything like that. We mostly talk about safeguards that can be done and that sort of thing. So it's not a super specific podcast. And frankly, this podcast was recorded before any specific allegations came out. So there was sort of an anonymous Reddit post and it looked like things were going to come out, but things had not actually come out yet. Or nobody else had spoken out at the time of the recording of this podcast. However, I want to make it abundantly clear that AJ and I, that role model, that Beauty and the Gi, we stand with the victims. We believe them. We're dedicated to figuring out how to be better and do better. A piece of that is, if you haven't heard, My Bruises Are From was a cause created by a jiu-jitsu woman. And the concept was, my bruises are from jiu-jitsu. You know, I get to choose where my bruises are from. I know my bruises are from the founder and Nikki Sullivan, and I think some other people, AJ included, are working on some project. When this podcast comes out, that information may already be public, but as of the recording of this part of the podcast, they're sort of talking about it, but nothing's been fully announced yet. So anyway, that may be something we talk about in the future, but I just wanted to hop on here, kind of give you guys a heads up and let you know we stand with the victims. We believe them. We're really proud of the people who have spoken out. We're really proud of how far jiu-jitsu has come. You know, this isn't the first time this has happened, and it certainly won't be the only time that this happens. And in the past, this has happened with various teams. You think of Lloyd Irvin's team, you think of Fight Sports. They've been different outcomes, right? And so I'm really proud of the jiu-jitsu community for taking a stand. Anyway, on to the episode.
Creating a safe training environment is everyone's responsibility. Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, a podcast about jiu-jitsu and so much more. I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
And I'm Jennifer Risser, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt full of nonsense and tomfoolery. Maybe not this week, though.
Yeah, maybe not right now.
We've got a little bit more of a serious episode this week. Not that we're not always serious, but it's less lighthearted, I would say. When we're recording this, it's the weekend after some heavy allegations have come out against Atos. Because of the way the schedule works and because we'll be in Costa Rica, this will be coming out a couple weeks later. But it's a topic that we wanted to talk about and address because we felt like we had to. We felt like we needed to. It's important.
Yeah, it's important. It is everyone's responsibility to kind of help speak up and speak out, and, you know, silence only benefits the oppressor.
Absolutely. So to give a little bit more context, I guess, if you haven't heard anything, if you're not really involved in the culture side of jiu-jitsu, Atos is a big team out of California, and there are some allegations of grooming and sexual assault with a minor coming out of that gym right now. So there's nothing been super specific. We are not here to talk specifically about that team. As we're recording this, there aren't a lot of specific allegations. And frankly, if law enforcement's involved, I don't expect to get a lot of specifics for a while. So this is not specifically about them. However, I will say that in this moment, a lot of the higher rank that we're familiar with out of that team has been distancing themselves.
Yeah. And at least making posts or statements that are kind of like, you know, I want to be the leadership I didn't have, or, you know, something to that extent.
Yeah, I want to create the safe space that I didn't have or that I wish I had or that I deserved. So I want to be clear, like, I'm a lawyer by day. Absolutely, our criminal justice system is based around innocent until proven guilty. However, I think, especially as women, we're familiar with the fact that one, reporting is really, really difficult. And two, actually getting a conviction as a result of a report like this is pretty rare, frankly. It's really unfortunate. But the thing is, our gyms are not the criminal justice system, and our gyms have to be protecting people better than that.
Yeah, I think that's well put. And I think that, like you said, it is hard to report and to come forward and to make a statement of any kind. And so we feel really thankful, and proud's not the right word, but, you know, kind of proud of the people that have been able to do that.
Absolutely. Okay, so with all of those disclaimers being said, let's kind of dive into the purpose of this podcast is more about safeguards mm-hmm. and protecting your people, whether that's you're a gym owner and you're looking for what to do, or you train jiu-jitsu and you're sort of a cog in the machine and you want to figure out how you best help your teammates if something happens, or how to best watch for red flags, those types of things.
Yeah, yeah. And I want you to keep in mind that, you know, just because somebody gets a black belt doesn't mean that they're a good person. So, you know, just because they are a leader doesn't mean that they're safe and that they deserve that leadership role.
Absolutely. Our ranking system, how we do it at Role Model, involves an element that's moral compass. And our goal is to never promote someone that has moral deficits, I suppose you could say. I'm not allowed to curse on this podcast.
You'd have to bleep it out. You're editing it now. So
I don't know how. But that's not something that every gym takes into account. In fact, I find that it's rare. You know, we've actually not promoted quite a few people because of moral compass who've ended up leaving because we weren't exactly certain that they could or would comply with sort of what we believe is ethically appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as you rank up in jiu-jitsu, there's that power dynamic, right? There's sort of criticism of black belts dating white belts, right? It's that power dynamic.
White belts come in and they look up to these black belts, you know? They're their teachers. They're their professors. They're, you know, not to repeat power dynamic, but there is an inherent power dynamic because of the quote-unquote hierarchy of jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely. And it's not just black belts, right? It's purple belts. It's brown belts. It's everybody above you, right? Those are the people you're looking up to. And so as a white belt, maybe you come in and you kind of just, you vibe with these people. You look up to these people. You're not thinking about doing background checks or, you know, you don't know the history, you know, of this person who's maybe dated however many people in the gym or whatever else could have happened that's worse than that. So we firmly believe that it's the gym's responsibility to ensure that it's a safe, healthy place to train.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some strategies. We want to just give a shout out to Jiu-Jitsu USA. They've done some really responsible reporting to date, at least, of this situation that we've been talking about. So anyway, they've put out some content about safeguarding and that kind of thing. So check them out. They're Jiu-Jitsu USA on Instagram. But we thought we would talk about some of those strategies, talk about sort of what we've experienced or what we do, and maybe some things that we're going to try to do better. You know, it's everybody's responsibility, and we're always looking to improve and make ourselves better.
Absolutely. And make our coaches and everyone better.
Yeah. So we thought we would talk about some of these strategies and, you know, some things we've been through over the years, too.
Yeah. We've had our fair share of people we've had to remove.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first thing they kind of mention is establishing a clear code of conduct, you know, defining what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. You know, for us, one thing that I think about is, for us, we never put in place a rule that coaches couldn't date students. We frown upon it, but it's not a rule because we didn't want it to be a hidden relationship that then the student felt like they couldn't come and tell us if things went wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't want it to be something that they feel like they have to hide or it's clandestine. You know, it needs to be out in the open.
Yeah, I think that, you know, secrets can hurt people, and that keeps people more safe when it's out in the open and something they can talk about.
Yeah, so I love this concept of the codes of conduct. It's something that we do with each new student verbally, essentially. So when we bring a new student in, we walk them through the gym, we give them a tour, and we talk to them about sort of what's acceptable and what isn't. So those are simple things like wear shoes in the bathroom and that kind of thing. But we also talk about consent. Jiu-Jitsu is heavily reliant on consent. And I've had some really hard conversations with, frankly, existing students about consent over the years. But it's something that we start that conversation the first time people are in, especially with people who are more vulnerable, like women. It's even a thing that we talk about with kids, right? Kids are always touching each other at times where it's not necessarily required, right? Like warm-ups, they're hitting each other, they're, you know, doing whatever, parkouring off of each other. And so, you know, those are simplified conversations because they're children, but they're still conversations about learning about not touching each other when they've been asked not to, or what types of touches are appropriate and that sort of thing. And frankly, I've had that conversation with grown people too, when we've had some issues pop up.
Yeah.
And when I say issues pop up, I mean, again, more like that play type thing.
Right. But it's still important. And, you know, if you're somebody who has had some sort of PTSD from something and somebody's coming up from behind and like play choking you or something, that's still not okay. Like,
oh, absolutely.
That's, you know, consent was not given there.
Absolutely. It's why we slap bump, right? That's the consent piece. And so that can be a hard thing to drill into people's minds, but we're pretty insistent that we don't do horseplay without, you know, sort of visual acknowledgement. The reason I made that more specific is we actually have kicked someone out for inappropriate touching. So I didn't want to be referencing that
person.
Those
are different. Yeah.
Those are different things. One was a sexual touch that was inappropriate and he was kicked out. One was like a horseplay type thing. And that was more of a consent conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a conversation like, hey, that's not cool. The other night we had a brand new guy in and you just never know how it's going to go. And I was telling him, you know, like you can always say no to any role, including me. Like if I ask you to roll and you don't want to, that's okay. And he said, that's great. Consent's important. And I was like, absolutely. Ding, ding.
You're going to work out okay here.
Exactly.
We don't have to send you down the road.
Exactly.
Down the road to another gym, not like down the road, like a river or something.
Taking people out.
Not like we're going to murder him.
Oh, at least there's still some levity in this conversation.
Well, sorry, guys. I'm silly. This is a serious conversation. I do mean that we take this very seriously. But, you know, do you want to listen to a sad podcast the whole time? I don't know. Let me know if I'm being too silly.
No.
But anyway, I actually really like this written code of conduct concept. And I think that we really should do that. I think that's something we're considering doing for our gym. Let us know if you have a code of conduct that we could, you know, take a look at. I'm really interested in doing something like that.
Yeah, I think that'd be really good.
Okay, so the second thing that Jiu-Jitsu USA identified was implement child protection policies. This is super, super important. So some of those are really simple, like doing background checks on your coaches. Of course we do. Actually, we do background checks on everybody that comes through the door just because, you know, you never know who's coming in and you just want to make sure that you're protecting your students. That's our number one thing. Our motto as a gym is community above all. And we mean it.
Yep, absolutely. So this post talks about, you know, having two coaches in kids' classes when possible. We always try to do that. Most of our kids' classes have 2 to 5 coaches in them.
Absolutely. Part of that's because children are feral, but also it is important to note that having one adult with kids, you just don't know what's happening, right? Yeah. You just want to make sure there are 2 sets of eyes at least on what's going on and that sort of thing.
And we never do kids' private lessons without a parent present as well.
Absolutely. That kind of leads into another point off of this part 2, that they require parental consent and visibility for any offsite training, travel, or competition. We actually don't allow kids to travel with coaches. They have to have a parent with them. Frankly, we want the parents to be in charge of their kids, right? We don't really want to take custody of kids. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, right? There are absolutely teams that have competition bus and they drive all their kids to a tournament. And that's awesome. The ability to do that is really awesome. But frankly, having supervision of that many kids it's a lot to manage, you know, and we frankly just prefer to have parents with them at all times if possible. We really prefer that parents are with them if they're not at the gym. And frankly, if I could choose it, I'd have all the parents there during kids class too, but some of them choose not to be.
Yeah. And that's something else they talk about is making sure that the parents can watch kids classes at any time. And that's always open to us.
Yeah, that's really important. Parents are always welcome to. We've actually been working on getting some screens up in our gym so parents can more comfortably watch class, but parents are always allowed to be on the mat or adjacent to the mat to watch class. That's, of course, always allowed. And then there's a piece about not allowing private messaging between coaches and minors outside of parent-approved group channels. We do have a Discord, which is like a messaging app with various channels. Obviously, parents have to co-sign them being on that and that sort of thing. But yeah, our preference is no messaging. And frankly, we're the ones that handle the private lessons for children.
Yeah. The third thing they talk about in the Jiu-Jitsu USA post is creating clear reporting channels so that if there's an issue, people are able to report that issue.
That's important. The next point is providing anonymous reporting options when possible. We have something, we have a QR code where you can anonymously give feedback of any sort. So it doesn't necessarily have to be specifically about this, but it could be about anything, including this. And we have one hanging up in the bathroom. So, you know, if you want to scan it privately, you're 100% able to do so.
Yeah. And making it clear that there wouldn't be retaliation. Like, that would not be tolerated.
Yeah. I think that's really important. How do you best make that clear?
Well, for us, like in the past, if we've had to remove anyone due to poor conduct, we talk to the students about it. We let them know that no one is above the rules. No one is above the community above all standard that we hold. And, you know, we never call out who reported or, you know, even exactly maybe what the situation was, but we talk about, you know, we had to remove somebody and this is why.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, we've had some various situations happen in the gym over time. I mean, we kicked one of our best friends out of the gym at one point, and that's really hard. But again, the community matters more. Safety matters more than anything. Another point they make is post-reporting procedures visibly in the gym and on the website. That's definitely something we could be doing better. You know, we've had people be asked to leave. Not frequently, but frequently enough that it feels like we've had those conversations with people. But frankly, newcomers probably don't know how to do that other than if they think about the, you know, anonymous forum. So that's something that we could be doing better. You know, something that we've had to navigate too in our history is people trusting us enough to tell us. You know, it doesn't always have to be the person telling us. It can be, you know, you tell a trusted friend who tells us. But I think some of the things we've been through, everybody thought somebody had told us, mm-hmm. and no one had.
Right.
And so I guess that's something to keep in mind is when I was, you know, a white belt and a blue belt, I was kind of in the know. But as I've, you know, ranked up and as I've become an owner of the gym, it's a different place. It's a different level of authority maybe. And so we don't always know. We don't always hear. And so I think it's really important to find someone you can trust that will help you elevate it, because yeah. your coach can't do anything about it if they don't know about it. I'm not promising you they're going to do a good job handling it, but I promise that we would. You know, we've always done our best. I can't say we've always handled everything right every single time, but we learn every time and we try to do better every time.
The inappropriate touching that you mentioned, it was someone's friend that came to us and said, hey, you need to know this happened. You know, the person that it happened to was scared, you know, scared to come forward. Not because of anything we'd done to make them feel scared, but just it's scary to report. You know, you worry that, especially if it's somebody that's been around longer, that everyone's going to take that person's side. And, you know, that wasn't the case. We instantly believed and took care of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a hard thing to navigate. You know, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about this. We recognize how difficult it is to come forward and talk about something that's happened to you like this. And, you know, frankly, most of the people we've asked to leave our gym have been coaches. So we recognize how much harder it is when it's a coach involved. You know, it's not always physical abuse, physical touching. Sometimes it's emotional abuse. Sometimes it's manipulation and coercion. Those are really difficult to handle. And frankly, the last one that we dealt with was, again, a friend coming to us. So someone told their friend who then came to us and helped us understand what was happening. And right. so we're very thankful to that person for coming forward and telling us, because we just didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're thankful, again, for those people that are willing to step up and, you know, say, hey, something's wrong here.
Yeah, especially because those people sometimes catch a lot of heat, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that person in this particular situation has caught a lot of heat for it.
Yeah.
And I can't say enough how much I appreciate her helping us and helping protect that person.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of our community. Those people were emotionally manipulating and abusing other people too. So we're thankful for that person for stepping up. If you ever need help with something like this, we will help you.
Yeah.
Whether it's just talking about it, coming up with an action plan, coming up with another place to train, we will certainly do our best to help you in whatever way we can.
Absolutely. Because I think we find that most of the time it's not a one-off situation. You know, this happened to me recently with a massage therapist, right? This massage therapist was saying very inappropriate things to me. And, you know, it got really gross. And so I stopped seeing them because of that. But I didn't tell everyone else I knew that was seeing them. And then I found out it was happening to someone else. And I did carry some guilt for that, for not speaking up. But I think oftentimes we think it's only happening to me, and usually that's not true.
Absolutely. Okay, so moving to the next point, it's about training your staff in boundaries and trauma awareness. We actually just did a coach's training recently where we lightly touched on some things, but this is certainly something that we could work on as well. One of our coaches just got Safe Sport certified, and that's something we're certainly looking into for the rest of us, because it talks about, you know, mandatory reporting and that kind of thing. So I think that's something that can be helpful.
This post even talks about, like, encouraging instructors to explain techniques verbally before physically demonstrating. I think for us, like, you know, the uke knows we're going to demonstrate a move. They usually know what the move is. But a lot of times when we come over to help somebody, we say, "Can I touch you?" Like, just little stuff like that to make sure that it's okay that I grab your arm or your leg, because we didn't slap bump. You didn't give me consent yet. So is it okay if I touch you?
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing on this list is normalizing students opting out of roles or requesting alternative instruction. That's also something that we talk about from the very first day. You might have mentioned this earlier, but nobody has to roll with anyone that they don't want to. People do not have to drill a move if it's not comfortable for them. They don't have to do a, you know, warm up or a specific move or train with a certain partner. This is a pay-to-play sport. We're all adults doing a silly little sport in our little jammies. So, you know, anything that we can do to make you more comfortable is our goal, right?
Yeah. The next point they say, so this is point number 5 in the Jujutera USA post, is protecting women and vulnerable athletes. You know, ensuring women have access to other women instructors or designated advocates when possible.
Yeah. Also encouraging women's only classes, female leadership development, women's only open mats and training opportunities. That's something that we do, obviously.
Yeah.
We have a whole camp about it. But that is really important. You know, an interesting thing is our gym has changed so much over the years that we've had moments of, do we need a women's only class? And then again and again, we've always said yes, because the people who are comfortable in the community, they might not need that class, but the women coming in, they might, right? Based on trauma that they've been through, based on just comfort, right? There's a reason that there's women's only classes and all sorts of different athletic type ventures, right? Just regular gyms or any sort of like sport you can pick up as an adult.
This also talks about taking reports from women seriously, even when they involve high ranking or popular figures. We hear time and time again from women who did go to their coach and the coach is like, you know, it's their best friend. And so how do you navigate that? How do you navigate if they're not willing to say anything or kick that person out? First, I think it's that you should probably leave the gym. You know, you don't want to be promoting other women coming into that situation. I think it's probably time to go.
That's really hard. That's a hard thing to hear, I know, for a lot of people. You know, I've had personal conversations with people where it's sort of like, well, I can train at this gym or I can quit jujitsu. And so that's a really hard decision to make. And I hope no one feels judged by this conversation. It certainly is not a judgment on you. However, it is just something to think about. You know, are you putting sort of your stamp of approval? Are you drawing women into a place that is not safe for them? That's important to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely not judging anyone. Like I said, I know how hard it can be to report. I know very well how hard it can be to say that, you know, a high-ranking man has abused you in some way and people retaliating because of that. I know.
We've spent years dealing with retaliation.
Yeah.
And with people picking him, frankly.
Yep. People who, you know, were a surprise or just very genuinely shouldn't, but
I don't know if this is helpful to anyone, but something that I think that I continue to learn when things like this happen is when people show you who they are, believe them. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know, shame on me.
I actually was telling someone the other day that I've always said that I'm a turn the other cheek kind of girl until one day I realize I'm bruised and battered.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say till you're out of cheeks.
Another point on this is avoiding internal pressure to handle it quietly. And this is something that we have run into is, you know, people that we have kicked out in the past that threatened to sue us for defamation. And the thing about defamation is the truth comes out.
Yeah, the truth is a full defense to defamation, in case you did not know that. Yeah, it can be really hard. I mean, you know, we've asked several close friends to leave the gym over the years, or we thought they were close friends at the time, perhaps. And so, you know, you're in a weird space of maybe you don't want to embarrass them, you don't want to sort of add insult to injury. You know,
at the same time, you want your team to know where you stand, right? And so we don't necessarily put out, you know, a public post that's detailing all the tea, right? But we talk about it in class, maybe not naming the person, but, you know, people know who left.
Yeah, right? They recognize who's missing.
Sometimes we put out a statement in our private, like, Discord and that sort of thing. But your people need to know. They need to know that you will stand by them when things happen.
Yep, yep.
Another point Jujutira makes is to respond appropriately to allegations. Take reports seriously. Involve law enforcement if appropriate. And then cooperate fully with investigations and prioritize safety over reputation, of course. That's kind of the bare minimum, I think.
Should be. The last point they make is model accountability from the top, that the leaders set the tone, which is, I guess, why maybe we've been quickest to get rid of the coaches that are any issue, because that's what sets the tone. We encourage feedback, and this says, you know, encourage feedback without fear. We don't want to think anybody's going to be retaliated against for reporting.
Yeah. One point they make is understand that silence, minimization, or defensiveness erodes trust. You know, as a gym owner, it can be really hard to know what to do in the moment. Obviously, you want to collect data. You want to take things seriously. You want to support the people that are involved, that are trusting you. But take it seriously. Help them know that you're proud of them for coming forward.
Right. Like, you want to take them seriously. You don't want to, like, minimize it. Like, oh, it's fine. He's just like that. Or, you know, don't blow it off. That's what erodes trust, is making it seem like it's something that is just okay and standard.
Yeah. And try not to be defensive, right? It's not a commentary on you. Frankly, it's perhaps positive commentary that someone felt safe coming to you. So do your best to honor that.
Yeah. So we know that, you know, as hard as we try, there's always things we can do better. And we've looked at this and thought of some things that we could do to improve. I just want you to take some time yourself to think about things that you could do at your gym to also improve, to make it easier for people to report or to take reports seriously, or to, you know, make sure that that's not the kind of thing that's part of the culture at your gym.
Yeah. And at the beginning, I think we promised that we would address this sort of as gym owners slash people that are just training there. I think we've mostly addressed this as gym owners, but as someone that trains there, you know, you can be the person that helps amplify voices. You can be the person that's noticing red flags and mentioning it to the coach. You know, if someone's DMing inappropriate messages or being abusive in some way, you might be seeing different things than the coach sees, right? People are usually on better behavior when coach is around. When mom's around, right? Like,
yeah.
People are on better behavior a lot of the time. When I was a white or a blue belt, I certainly heard more about sort of, you know, what was going on than I do now as a higher rank and an owner of the gym.
Yeah. So if you are a student and you hear things or witness things, you know, if you feel comfortable, go to your coach and talk about it.
Yeah, you could also use the post that we've been talking about from Jujutira USA as a springboard to talking to your coach. You know, hey, coach, we don't have some of these things in place. I think it'd be really good just to have protocol, just so if something does happen, you know, we know what to do. We know how to report and that sort of thing. If you have other ideas of how to safeguard your gym or any of the things we've talked about, really, we'd love to hear from you about any thoughts you have.
And something that we mentioned at the beginning was how impressed we were by a lot of the women, you know, speaking out and using their platforms to do so. You know, seeing Adele Fornarino, you know, talking about needing to kind of clean up the sport and that things have to change, and seeing, you know, I mean, it got you, right? Like, you kind of got choked up from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, she's on a big stage doing her thing, absolutely crushing it. And then she takes a moment to speak up, yeah. Right? You know, her rash guard, she's got the logo marked out. She's speaking up at a very high level. The people who speak out, pay attention to those people. The people that are putting out statements, talking about protecting women, those are the people you can trust.
Yeah.
At least I hope so.
At least I hope so too.
They're at least trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that a springboard for another announcement?
Yeah. I know this has been a really heavy podcast, but we do have some exciting news to finish this out with. But Adele is going to be teaching at camp this year.
We are so excited. We actually attended a seminar with her last year
before our July camp last year. And we were really impressed with her. Her jiu-jitsu is fantastic, of course. If you've seen her compete, you know her jiu-jitsu is fantastic. Her instruction was really high level, really good. And frankly, she just seems like a good person and really humble. You know, even when she was talking in Q&A, she was talking about, you know, her team. It wasn't just her. It was her team this, her team that, you know, like.
Yeah, everything was a we.
Yep.
We did this to prepare. We felt like this afterwards, you know, it was.
Yeah, and this isn't our theme this year, but it's sort of a life theme, right? The rising tide that raises all ships, and she absolutely fits that bill. So we are so excited to have her at camp this year.
Yeah, so when we talk about that we plan camp all year round plus, we talked to her in May of 25 about teaching at this camp in 26. So we finally got all the details ironed out and are able to announce her. So
yeah, we gathered our ducks. They're not in a row, but they're in the same lake. We did it.
We did it.
So we're really excited about that. We do have quite a few scholarships for this camp this year. We're really fortunate in that we've just had some spots donated. So please speak up if you're interested in coming to camp. We would love to sponsor you because what matters to us is women on the mat. Please come train with us. Please come learn from these incredible instructors.
Yeah.
I say that like I'm not an instructor. I forgot. I meant everyone but me.
Please come learn from me. I'm awesome.
I'm amazing, guys.
She is, though. She really is. Yeah, we haven't officially announced it, but Risser is also teaching at camp. So
I thought you had officially announced it.
Oopsie I'm not sure. It's fine. But yeah, come and learn. You know, it is our mission to help make jiu-jitsu more accessible for everyone, but especially women.
Absolutely. Come train with us.
Yeah.
So heavy podcast. Heavy week. Hopefully we brought a little bit of light and a little bit of learning.
Maybe some inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah. Where can they contact us if they want to let us know anything?
Yeah. From the podcast, we're at Beauty and the Geek Podcast on Instagram. And I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go.
All right. Well, until next time, we'll see you
on the mat. Beauty and the Geek is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling. All right!
Nice job.
That wasn't even written on the whiteboard.